22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
8.5 remaining. They are up by two on an empty net goal, and the Huskies are going crazy on the Michigan Tech bench right now. Bringing it in front, and it's scored! Right in between the hash marks. Huskies win it back with Misiak in front. Here's a score!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Pisani Company Distributing, Edward Jones Financial Advisor John Nelson in Houghton, the Turbo Agency in Hancock, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet, and Peterlin Distributing of Calumet. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, and thank you very much, Josh. We appreciate that. It is the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93. Coach is with us by phone this morning. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Dirk. Good to talk to you.
Hey, it's nice to have you with us. I hate the fact that we didn't have any games this weekend, but we are certainly not alone as we move through this strange non-conference portion of the season, and just a weird feeling here on Monday not having any games.
It is. It's an off feeling. We're really hoping to get a couple games in. I think we'll probably pretty much leave it at that, and but we're excited as we move forward, and I'm confident that we'll be able to get all of our 10 games in that we're looking to try to play in this first portion of the season before we get into the conference schedule.
It's weird though. Some of the games have been listed. I'm not talking just Michigan Tech, but other league member games have been, some of them listed as postponed, some of them listed as canceled. What are the differences in, or I guess why are there differences in some of this stuff? Do you know?
It's hard to say. Teams are, you know, trying to still work within their schedule and try to make it work. Maybe people are referencing that those particular games are canceled. I think the biggest thing is that working through this and the impact that you know, different things have on other things, they're still trying to honor commitments to other opponents. For whatever reason, a game may not be played. So that may leave it very hard to get the games in that they were with the opponents they originally scheduled to play for travel concerns and things like that. So I think every situation, Dirk, is different. What I do know is that we're committed to both trying to help our players get the best experience possible. They've done such a great job, worked so hard. We want to get them games. They're here to play. Again, I can't thank our administration enough for all they've done. From President Kobach to Suzanne, who's been tireless in helping all the programs get the best experience out of what they can this year, to, you know, rink staffing, testing personnel, everybody that's been involved, trainers, everybody that's been involved in it. So we're committed to get as many games in for our athletes as we can. And that's going to come with probably makeshifting and getting games in when we can, and sometimes maybe playing some games on top of games, just in order to give our athletes an opportunity to play.
So when you and I talked last week here on the show, obviously we were unaware, even though we might have known something could possibly happen, we were unaware that the games would not be played this past weekend. And so, you know, I think about the team right away. Here they are. They got that first weekend under their belt. They're revved and raring to go for week number two to get back on the ice. When the team found out that there were not going to be any games against Northern this weekend, does that make it more difficult for them and for the coaches to keep them focused going through this past week?
You know, our guys have really done an excellent job. So I'm going to say there's absolute disappointment on behalf of everybody. And we really put an effort into trying to get games last weekend. We had an opportunity to do so. It didn't work out. But we were, you know, there is a letdown, a disappointment that goes in. But our guys haven't shown it. They're showing up every day. They're not letting their emotions play on their sleeves or on their practice efforts and things like that. And no one around here is. Everybody's positive and moving ahead. So there's certainly disappointment, but it's not showing right now in any way within the on or off ice training regiments or things like that. Everything is, you know, they're coming every day doing what they're asked. And again, like I said last week, you know, we take for granted, you know, people above us know more than we know on things, and they do a good job of sharing information with us. But I think there's also a protection with us as coaches to say, okay, let's not let them, you know, I don't know that. I'm just saying there's potentially a protection when things aren't certain. Lay out some options, but there's probably some protection. And I certainly know there is on, not intentionally, by anybody, administration, us as coaches, with what we do with our players and try to make sure we're feeding them the latest information, the alternatives as we see them, the options as we see them, what we feel is most likely to happen, but what we need to do if it doesn't. And I think that's where, they don't know completely everything that we may or may not know. Not that we don't want to share that. It's just that we you know, give them what we feel in a moment is what we need to give them. So, and what went into that decision changes, you know, by the hour. So, it's a interesting time. People are learning how to adjust, you know, and just carry on. And that's really what this is all about, is how do we learn and get better from this experience?
It's funny. You know, you talk about information that comes from the top and has to trickle down. And you're right. There's some things, because of the fact that they're going to be changing, they're not, it's not worth even, relaying the information to somebody, because it might change in the next couple of minutes or an hour, as you said. So that's totally understandable. What is, not funny, I guess, haha, but funny, in that some of our fans, some of our listeners who listen online on the stream, you know, they don't listen to the radio station. They maybe don't check in with Michigan Tech's website on a regular basis. We had some emails Friday night. Where is the game? You know, these are people that are from way out of town in Arizona and a couple of other different southern states. You know, where's the Michigan Tech Northern game? And then I had to reply this morning, just saying, you know, that the, you know, what the reason was, and hopefully they understood everything. But it is confusing right now for a lot of people, especially if they're not right on top of things, kind of like how you are and some of us that are in the area. But I wanted to ask you, Coach, when you knew the week was going to be a non-playing weekend, did that change up the practice schedule or the practices in general on what you worked on?
No, it didn't. You know, it did and it didn't. We worked some things in because we had a couple of extra practice sessions involved there. So we feel that the things that we needed to really work on based on our games the prior weekend, we spent a little bit more time on those. So we did with the extra time. But our overall preparation, we proceeded. We felt that we had a really good chance of playing games on the weekend. And those fell through, in our opinion, at the very last minute. We were set to go. Staffing was set to go. Everything was set to go, and our opponent chose to do something different. And again, I'll leave it at that. But we were preparing in order to play. So, to answer your question, we made, I think, the most of Friday and Saturday skates. I think we got a lot out of them. We tried to make them as game-like, as competitive as we could, with working in a fatigue factor, knowing we'd have a little bit of recovery, but still not knowing what we would have, because we're still working on ahead games and trying to, as soon as possible, get our athletes back on the ice and able to compete, whether that be on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, tomorrow, whatever it is. We want to stay as focused on what we can control, and really not spend a tremendous amount of effort or thought control. And again, I think we're getting great communication, great support from our administration above. And we're working closely together with them and collaboration with, and every university is doing that too. Details that need to be worked out and things that need to be worked out amongst coaches, preliminary things are being taken care of, and then they're getting relayed to the, you know, administration portions, which is you know, through me to Suzanne, and then she's you know, working out the final details to make sure that we're compliant, following protocol, and that everybody is, especially when we're trying to get games in our building, because if you're playing opponents from out of state, there's different regulations, and we're responsible for the regulations that happen within our state. So Suzanne's doing a really good job of working those details out and making sure that teams coming in who may have more stringent or less stringent are compliant with what we're doing and giving us the opportunity to play. So there's a lot that goes into it that delays games a day here or there, prevents games a day here or there, because nothing more than just testing, to get on the same page on testing based on changing from state to state. If that makes sense, like we're on a 6-test protocol, someone else might be on a 3-test protocol, but before they can come here and play, they have to be on a 6-test protocol, which could bump things around a little bit. So lots going into it, but again, our focus is first and foremost safety for everybody, for on-ice officials, off-ice officials, athletes, staffing, you know, everybody involved, and then to allow our athletes a chance to enjoy the experience and compete. So that's really where we're at on a day-to-day basis.
So last week, Coach, kind of getting off the COVID thing just for a second and just talking about, you know, you get those two games under your belt after that long preseason of not being able to see anybody in actual game action. Does it kind of give you a little clarity going into that first week after the first weeks of games as far as, you know, where everybody's at? And could you talk about kind of a base, you know, a starting point for where we need to go? Did it really kind of clear things up a little bit starting practices last week?
Well, I think it cleared things up tremendously because the things that we work on daily, you know, I think I said the disappointment that we had as a staff after the first weekend was we feel we're teaching all over again on the intricacies, the details within our game that make us successful. And, you know, when you have an upper class, what you're really, upper class dominated team, you're really looking for help in that teaching and with, through example and through mentorship with the young players. Cause I say all the time, the leaders control the team. You know, people could be, I can be as egotistical as I want and say, this is my team, this is my program, I'm going to do it. But that is so far from the truth. The players manage a team, and what we do is try the best we can as a staff to manage the people. Just as I'm managed, you know, by people above me. And that's just the way everything works. You know, we all are accountable to somebody and something, and we want a lot of accountability to be self-accountability. And so what we did is we were able to really take the game and break it down in its detail, its finite detail, and say, okay, fellas, now this is why we do this, and this is why we do this. And if you'll see, the successes we had are based on, by accident or design, us following these norms or these principles. And breakdowns that we had and when things didn't go so well, again, Look at how we are. That's not within how it's all tied in to support each other through redundancy and everything else. So we learned an awful lot, which gave a lot more attention. I told you the last few practices before we played were okay, were pretty good, but we did have about a week prior to that where it got stale and the attention and detail was not there, focus wasn't there, the little things that we need to do. And we saw some of that in the game. We weren't completely ready to go, and that's completely on myself and on us as coaches. To our job is to have our team ready to play. And part of that, we have to make sure that we're dealing with our leaders within our groups as well, to say, listen, fellas, we really need you to first of all lead by example, and then whatever we're not on the same page on, if there's something you don't like and you think we should tweak, you know the door is always open. Let's talk about it, and let's come to an understanding so that we can all be working together on this. So I think it was really good. I think the first weekend, again, the result wasn't what we want, but the only real loss is if you don't, you know, get any examples out of it and you don't learn something from it, if it's just a waste. And that weekend certainly wasn't a waste. We got an awful lot out of it.
Hey, Coach, I know we have some guys that are injured right now, but are the lines that we saw down in the Sioux a couple of weeks ago, are those still showing some form of consistency, or are those moving around a little bit as far as combinations?
They're fluid. They're changing all the time based on what we're, you know, who's stepping up. I've really seen some improved play by some people in practice. Most notably to me is Alex Bretzman seems to have a smile on his face and have a jump in his step, every bit better, a little bit clearer. He's our leader, you know, on the locker room. He's the guy. So it's good to see him, with some confidence growing within his game. It's not that he was fighting it, not that anything else. It's just, you know, it's hard. It's hard to be a leader. It's hard to, you know, it's hard to have the coaches asking you to make sure this guy is ready to go or that guy's ready to go. Help us with that. And, but there's growth in players for sure. And with that comes us seeking different combinations to accentuate that, just like we do on any given week. If we, you know, we see that all of a sudden Misiak and Logan Piedla look, you know, there's something there. We throw them together because we want to have success. So it's always fluid. The lineup's always fluid. You got to be able to play with anybody. Certain players certainly have more chemistry than others. We find that Bliss and Paratino have good chemistry together, and if they have a centerman that's really engaged, that line's really good on any given night. So it's a fluid thing. Things are changing daily.
You're tuned to the Joe Schonauer here on Mix 93 WKMJ. If indeed you are listening live on Monday morning here, you can send in a question. The email address is dj@themix93.com, dj@themix93.com. Coach, can you give us any update at all on Brian Hallinan at this point? I know last time you said there was a ways to go, but do you have anything for us here today?
You know, I don't know. I think his pain level is diminishing to some degree, which is a good thing. It was a multiple week and then let's see type of deal. The problem with Brian is, you know, you see the way he plays. Most people, you know, this is a small community. Our players are very visible and out in front in the community, so people know these guys personally, and they know that there's no, you know, if this kid's supposed to, in a white jersey and not supposed to be practicing, you know, it's constantly me looking at you know, our training staff and saying, hey, what's going on? Why is he in this drill? Well, he's trying it. Well, you know, okay, you guys do it, but, you know, so it's hard to hold him back. He has a high pain threshold. He has a high compete level. You know, he's a rough and tumble, you know, 100% all the time kind of guy. So, but he is handling it. His pain tolerance seems to be better, at least when I talk to him. I still think he's a little bit away, because again, it's an injury that we want to make sure it can't get worse. And that's really the thing. If the doctors say, hey, listen, you know, it's going to take this or this, it's not going to get any worse, but it's not going to get any better, it's a play with pain type of deal, then there's discussion with the player and mostly the training staff and the player as to how the extent to what they're going to go. With Brian, I think the thought is just to make sure that it doesn't go in a different direction and make sure it's not, you know, possibly something it could be versus what they're actually seeing. And certainly don't turn it into that. So, I think he's a little bit of ways, but I could get a notification today that, hey, listen, he's ready to go a little bit more.
All right. Well, we'll take a break. We'll be back with head coach Joe Schon here on the Joe Schon Hour. And again, if you have a question for Coach Schon, email it to me. If you're listening on Monday morning, dj@themix93.com. We'll be back with more right after this.
Market declines, oil prices, today's headlines can be scary. Hi, I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor John Nelson. I'll work with you to help you understand the impact of short-term events and how to be positioned for the long term. We provide the tools for a reasoned, disciplined approach to investing. Don't let headlines derail your long-term financial strategy. Give us a call at 482-8680 for a face-to-face appointment. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
The Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images invite you to join Husky Deals. When you join us on Husky Deals, you'll receive exclusive information about our upcoming promotions, sales, and events. Send your preferred email address to campusstore@mtu.edu, and we'll add you promptly. Stop by today or visit us online at bookstore.mtu.edu. Husky Deals from the Campus Store and University Images. Don't miss out. Join today. Thank you for your patronage, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Introducing Budweiser Zero. 0% alcohol, 0 grams of sugar. Full Budweiser flavor. For all the moments you want a beer and need to stay on your game. Budweiser Zero. 0 alcohol, 0 compromise.
Welcome back to the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93 WKFJ. We'll get to our questions a little earlier than usual today because obviously we don't have highlights or anything else to go through. But Coach is with us. Coach is looking at, of course, there's very, very few games that have been played by WCHA teams so far. Only 9, if I count right, only 9 have been played. There have been 4 shutouts in only the 9 games played, if you count the double shutout with the nothing-nothing tie with us and Lake State just over a week ago. But a couple of games this weekend, Lake State did not come up and play us. They played Adrian, a Division III college, and they beat them 5-3 and 2-1 were the finals there. There were some other games that we'll talk about a little bit later on in the show in Division I play, including that big series between Notre Dame and Michigan and a few others. But What can we tell our listeners now, Coach, about this weekend? We're scheduled, obviously, to play one of the best teams in the nation, in Minnesota State, a team that we were, set to play in the next round of the WCHA playoffs before COVID shut everything down. And they're still, even with a lot of big losses, they still are one of the reloaded teams coming in here this year. But what can you tell us about the scheduling of this weekend right now?
Well, I think I can safely say right now that we're very close to just extending the games from Friday to Saturday to Sunday to Monday. I think that there's between the athletic directors, they're trying to work out the details on that to try to get everything planned and everything scheduled and get on the same testing protocols and things like that to get that in place. So I as of right now, I think, I don't know what percentage it is, but it looks like we'll have Mankato here on Sunday and Monday. The coaches have agreed in principle, and details need to be worked out to finalize that. They already, they just have to bump their hotel rooms a day or two in order to do that. So that right now I can say is what we're planning. We're looking forward to it. We're excited about it. And I know they are as well. So we're all chomping at the bit to get on the ice and play, and like we always say here, our I was hired here to bring us as close as possible to competing for championships. We've done a really good job, I think. Always could do better, but we've won a lot of trophies in my time here, including multiple playoff championships. Not again that I have anything to do with it, but that's really the mandate. It's not, hey, listen, just put a good team on the ice. Make sure you graduate your players. Those are all important factors and the most important factors. But within that expectation is, we're giving you, what do you need to be successful? So with that comes properly preparing our team, and that means playing the best competition, which we've always done here. We had last year Clarkson, the teams that we have on our schedule that we play are always at the top. The Michigans, Michigan States, they're ranked teams, and Duluth's as we play them, and Wisconsin's and everybody. So we're going to get the best coming in here. Hopefully we're following that up with Bemidji. We're working out the details on getting that back arranged, and getting things back in order there. And then we'll see what's going on with Northern Michigan and try to get a couple more games in there. And then we'll probably add maybe even Northern Michigan for a couple more. I've committed to all these teams to give them an opportunity for their athletes as well. Even if it plays multiple, 4 games in 5-6 days, it's important, I think, as a good member of a league to help other programs out as well, because we could get hit with something tomorrow with a COVID positive that shuts us down, and we'll be begging people to help us. So I think it's really important to treat people like you want them to treat you, and we're going to do everything we can to help out Northern Michigan with games, to help out Mankato with games, to help out Bemidji with games, to help out anybody who needs help that fits within what we can do, our travel, our travel thoughts and things like that's on the minds of safety and things. We're going to play the games as many as we can and give our players the best opportunity. So as of right now, that's where we're at. We're looking tentatively, a little more than tentatively, at Sunday, Monday here, and then we'll go from there.
All right. Well, very good, Coach. Let's get to some of the questions, if you don't mind. And some of these are talking about, some of these questions are right in the topics that you are kind of touching on a little bit. So I think we kind of know some of the answers to these. But here's the first question, Coach. This listener said, we noticed the some WCHA teams are playing D3 schools like Bowling Green and Adrian, Lake State and Adrian, when their schedule goes awry because of COVID. Wondering if Michigan Tech can take advantage of the situation too, maybe Finlandia or other nearby schools.
Sure, we could, I guess. That's not what we're looking to do, though. We're looking to play the best competition available that gives our players, our university, a chance to prepare for a championship, and our players to prepare to fulfill their dreams of being professional hockey players. So our goal is to play the best competition possible. No discredit, no disrespect to anybody else, but if we can play ranked teams and teams picked high in our league and those are the teams we're going to play. So the hardest thing on us, I'm going to be honest with you, the hardest thing on us here, on me personally, is going to be not having our fan base here in our rank. We talked a little bit last week about did it affect you not playing with a crowd at Lake State? No, it didn't affect me at all not playing with a crowd at Lake State. It is going to affect us playing without a crowd at home because there's no place like here. Even how our group travels, if anything that we noticed when we were on the road is that we didn't have our group there potentially being louder than the opposition, our Michigan Tech group. That's what we're going to notice the most is what we get, the lift, the excitement, the adrenaline that we get, the feeling of owing a performance to our home people. And so that's going to be the hardest thing, I think, on us as a program as we play games here at home. It's going to be different. On the road, it really isn't that much different. But playing here or on a neutral site, it wouldn't be different. For both teams, we go to national tournaments with very sparse crowds. But it is going to be different when we play here in front of without our people being here. But we'll know they'll be here in spirit anyways.
Absolutely. Next question from a listener, Coach. Are the freshmen fitting into the culture that you are looking for?
They seem to be. I don't see anything that's showing that they're not. There's adjustment, possibly a little more adjustment than I thought with some players and maybe a little less with some other players, but they're fitting in well, and I think our upper class is doing a great job of mentoring them. I get comments all the time about, when I talk to a freshman, they make a comment, Blisser already mentioned that to me, or I've been working with Bots on this, or Goatsy, or Justin, or whoever. They're all investing in these young kids. So, I think they're adapting fairly well. And, the big thing though is not what we see in practice is the contribution in the game. The practice is homework and practice is daily class, but the game is the test. And we want to have success when we're taking those exams.
All right. Next question from a listener, Coach. In any other year, you'd probably burn a red shirt by dressing a freshman in a game during the season. Since no one loses any eligibility this year, does that give you an opportunity to consider that?
It does, absolutely. And we are looking at it that way. Yeah, 100%. The other side of it is getting our team in a minimal amount of games as ready as possible for extended, for our league to start in January. So, when you come off scoring one goal total and that being a power play goal in your first two games, you're looking for two things. Can someone else step up and offer something that someone here is not? But you're also looking, okay, we got to get this guy, try to help this guy get back to where, get to what we know he's capable of being at. Because sometimes the guy that you would take out of the lineup is not the guy that you necessarily want to take out of the lineup. And you need to make sure that if you're sending a message, make sure you're keeping that player on board and you're giving him a chance to succeed. On the other hand, you know, you want to see if other people can step up and play past that individual. So it's a hard dynamic. It's early right now. So with limited number of games, it's going to be something we're going to have to play with all the time. It'd be great if they expanded the amount of players you could play one or two games due to the, or one or two players due to this, because we'd dress a couple more and spot them in and see what they can do. It'd make things a little bit easier.
Yeah, that's a great point right there. Does that also, with that opportunity to not, you know, have any eligibility loss and not have to burn a red shirt, does that create any more, or could it create any more competition in practices, knowing that these kids can get in?
I think there's always competition, and hopefully they always know that they can get in. We're gonna try our best to play the players that deserve to play, that deserve to play most. The tough part always, and you heard me say this a lot a couple of years ago, the tough part is when your leaders may or may not be performing, and more may not be performing, to what you're expecting them to perform to. And you're asking those players to help hold a group accountable, because like I just mentioned so many times, the dynamic in the locker room is the dynamic. The meeting that happens, what's said after the coaches walk out, after their teaching lesson or whatever, what's said after that, how that's received and dispersed among the group, within the group, is the meeting. That's the one that sticks. So if we're walking out of there and players are saying, blow it off, you know, don't listen to what he's saying, da 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 da. You've lost it. You know what I mean? You've lost the group, and then it's very hard to look at. And what I tell my leaders all the time, fellas, let's not ever get to the point where your juniors and seniors are wearing letters, and you know, and you're saying, coach, I can't hold others accountable because I'm not accountable. Because then the first thing is, why aren't you accountable after the amount of time that's been put into you, you know, dollar, everything that's been invested in you? Why haven't you held yourself to a standard that you expect others to live up to that standard? So that's what we're really looking for. So what the difficulty comes in when you have players that you know what they're capable of and they're not performing to that standard. Then how much rope do you give them? Mel used to call it money in the bank, and players hated that. I'm going to let him go a little bit because he has money in the bank. But it's really true. Because if you know what someone's capable of, then maybe you have to try to get to the bottom of what's going on. May be on the ice, may not be on the ice, may something be going on with the family, maybe struggling in classes. There could be other things that you got to resolve and try to get that player that you know can make a significant impact to the point where he's making a significant impact. So a lot goes into it. And then there comes a time where you just say, hey, listen, man, you haven't earned it. You know, I don't know what to tell you. You didn't come back in good shape. You didn't put the same amount of time that other players did in the summer to get ready to play. You know, nothing in this world is given to you freely, we would hope. So, you know, someone else is getting a chance to do that job and try to make us better, and we hope that you're on board with that. So a lot goes into it, Dirk.
Coach, another question here before we take a break. Is there any clarity on the selection process for the NCAA tournament field yet?
None. There's no clarity yet that I know of for the playoff structure for our league yet. So I think people are waiting to see. You know, you got to look. We really all have to really keep in mind the dynamic of this. And let me give you an example. There's a minimum amount of games you have to play in any sport to be able to qualify for national tournament play. Ohio State's had some issues, whether it be, and I'm talking about football now. Ohio State's, what are they, number two in the country, and number three, whatever they are, number four, but anyways, they're certainly in the top four being undefeated, and we're talking about Ohio State Buckeye football. Now, they have two games left. They got canceled again this weekend. They have two games left, one of those being against Michigan, and people are laughing and joking about the fact is, wouldn't Michigan put the screws to Ohio State if they chose not to play them for whatever reason? You know, they have COVID, whatever, and they didn't play them. Now Ohio State has no chance of getting their six games in, their six-game minimum, because of all the cancellations they had, to qualify to be able to play in the national tournament play down, to play in postseason play. That's how crazy this stuff gets. So there's a lot of dynamics that play into it. We're talking major Division I football, a top-four-ranked team that's in the hunt for the national title that is on the verge, if something happens within their last two, if any one of their last two regularly scheduled games are not played, they'll end with five games and not qualify for the postseason. And that's just the rules. So there's a lot of things that play into these dynamics. We haven't even set, again, to reiterate, I haven't heard that we've set our playoff format, and I have not heard that there's been a national tournament format set, because maybe they don't want to get into that where they can't do what they feel is putting the best teams in the national tournament. I don't know the reason, just speculating, but a lot of crazy things going on.
All right, Coach. Well, thanks for your answers. We've got more questions coming up after the break. If you are listening here on Monday morning and would like to get a question in, you still have time. DJ@themix93.com. We'll go through some of the other scores from over the weekend with teams that did play and see if Coach had a chance to watch any of those and get his thoughts on that. It's all part of the Joe Schottenauer here on Mix 93.
Once upon a time, in a house not far from here, there lived a woman filled with holiday cheer. She was known for being the host with the most, with plenty of Coca-Cola for a holiday toast. This year, she knew there wouldn't be a crowd, but she got an idea, and she said it out loud. If I can't toast them in person, I'll send them a Coke. I'll share some cheer with my favorite folk. But at her doorstep, she was caught off guard. Her friends had sent a gift, including a card. So she reached inside and read the letter. Have a Coke, old friend. Because together, tastes better.
This holiday season, make sure you take time to say thank you to the people who've been there for you this year. And what better way to do that than sharing an ice-cold Coke? So take a moment to share a Coke with a family member, friend, a nurse, or maybe a neighbor. Because sharing things brings us together. And no matter where we are or how we connect, we know together tastes better.
Just close your eyes.
Boo, you already got me an iPhone SE from Cricket.
Okay, open.
A caribou.
It's a reindeer, dear.
In North America, it's called a caribou, Boo.
No way.
Well, I love my new iPhone SE and my new caribou. What's your name?
It's, Carrie, Boo.
Get the iPhone SE for $49.99 when you switch. Smile, you're on Cricket.
Ends 1-7-21, excludes upgrades and AT&T ports. Limit 2 phones per customer. Activation fee $25 per line and additional one-time fees. $4 customer assistance fee may apply, subject to change.
During cough and cold season, Walgreens knows noses. Like those noses that tickle and twitch. So cute. And in as little as 30 minutes, Walgreens makes it easy to pick up your cough and cold must-haves. 30-minute pickup. Now that's faster than trying to find a clean sleeve. This week, Walgreens brand cough and cold products now only $9.99. Plus, buy two, get a $3 register reward at checkout. Good on your next purchase. Walgreens. Use as directed. Restrictions apply to 30-minute pickup. Valid through December 5th with my Walgreens. See walgreens.com/pickup for details.
Welcome back to the Joe Schottenauer here on Mix 93. Taking a look at some scores from over the weekend with teams that did play. Game started on Friday in non-conference action. It was RIT over Clarkson 8-5. And Boston College over UMass by a score of 4-3. Of course, Minnesota State and Bemidji did not play. In Atlantic Hockey, it was Canisius over Robert Morris 5-2. AIC over Air Force 3-1. Big Ten action on Friday. It was Notre Dame over Michigan by a score of 3-2. That was quite the series, because then on Saturday, it was Notre Dame 2-1 over Michigan. And, Coach, that 2-1 game, all three goals were scored with, like, 2.5 minutes left to go in the game. Very wacky how there was nothing score-wise until the very end of that game.
Yeah, it seemed that Notre Dame gained confidence as that weekend went on. Michigan had the edge in play. I think, first of all, when I was originally watching – charting, it was the shots like 7 or 8 to 1 in favor of Michigan, and then they held an advantage. They might have got 40 plus shots on Friday night, but Notre Dame scored more goals. They were up, I think, at one point, maybe even 2 or 3-0, and then it ended up Michigan came back and made 3-2. And then on the Saturday game, it was very close in play. Michigan might have had a 1 or 2 shot edge overall, and or Notre Dame might have had a 1 or 2 shot, but it seemed like a extremely even game. So Jeff's done a good job there. He always gets his team to play. We know the firepower that Michigan has, so it's a pretty good. That would seem like a really good series. The Wisconsin, Arizona State, Wisconsin got hit with the COVID bug. They were saying and with contacts. And so they only dressed 9 forwards and I believe 8 D in the games. And They seem to have, they have a couple of top fours. Holloway's out for sure. A couple forwards out. But they still had quite a bit of firepower. But Arizona State, who only scored, I think, two goals in their first four games or something like that, got, I believe, eight with an empty netter on their first game. And then on their second game, they won 3-1. Arizona State swept Wisconsin. So, AIC won a couple games. I saw they continue to do well in Atlantic hockey. And it was a real good split between RIT and Clarkson. RIT, 8-5, I think, in the first game. And Clarkson, you mentioned, 5-1 in the second game. So there were some good hockey. And again, right now, you don't know who's in the lineup, who's not in the lineup. I give credit to Wisconsin for getting the games in. Instead of pulling the plug, Arizona State was there to play. And Wisconsin played, with a shortened roster, things like that. So I think that's the gamesmanship you're looking for, giving players, as many players as they can, a chance to play and competing to the best of their ability.
Yeah, I don't know if you mentioned Michigan State and Ohio State. They split.
Split, yeah.
On the weekend, overtime win for the Spartans on Saturday. And then yesterday, I think it was a 4-2 final, if I remember right.
Yeah, I believe it was 4-2 with an empty net, I think. So, and those, I believe, were at Ohio State.
They were.
Yeah.
Yep, they were at Ohio State. So those are some of the games from over the weekend, and hopefully we'll have some more this weekend. A couple other questions here for you, Coach. Next one is, what steps are being taken or need to be taken in order to ensure outbreaks such as the ones that have happened with Northern Michigan and Mankato that don't happen to our team and forcing us to cancel any more games?
Well, first, it's not being silly with your personal conduct, holding yourself to a standard, which our guys are doing a great job of. I worry about it all the time because I don't worry about what we're doing. Our group is great. Everybody involved with it that has any contact with our group is absolutely fantastic, from the rink attendants and everybody out on how they're handling themselves. But what you can't control, we wear our masks all the time. We do everything that we do, but you're still going to have contact with other people at some point of some kind, whether it be in a grocery store or whatever it is. So there's always a risk, and you're not a failure. You're only a failure at it if you're being reckless in your behavior. And I don't think our guys are being reckless. We know we've been given straight protocols. We've been here since early September now, following those protocols. We still had, a few cases early, as everybody did on campus, and now we've been pretty good since then. So, we have what we have to do. We're testing. Our guys know exactly everything that needs to be done, sanitizing, masks and everything, and what additional. We're doing basically the same thing we've been doing right from the start. I don't think we've had to add any because our staffing and training staffing and administration did such a good job of preparing. And I think a big part of it was that opening the campus, having the campus open for in-class learning, got that work going as soon as possible way back in early summer to, okay, what needs to be done here to give us the best chance of succeeding. And we've been following that. So I think our university did an outstanding job, and I think our players have done a great job.
All right, next question for you, Coach. Something you kind of already touched on, but this listener says, any thought on playing Adrian on an open weekend like Lake State and Bowling Green did?
As a last resort. Again, my first obligation is to help those within our league that need help. This isn't a time, to be selfish. It's, Northern Michigan hasn't played a game yet. They're going to need games. Other teams are going to need games. So if being 90 miles away from Northern, we can get a game in on a Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday where we just have to get on a bus, go there, get off the bus, play, get back on the bus, already have our food from home, and come back here, or them do the same thing and with such low risk of infection, then we're gonna first take care of our league. Now, as a last resort, we would take whatever we have to do to give our guys a chance to play hockey. But our first priority is to our league members and our partners.
Next question for you, Coach. This listener is talking about TJ Poglet, saying he's still looking for that first elusive career goal, but he seems to be getting opportunities, albeit, you know, this past, the first weekend, I think they're talking about. And then they say, as well as last year, is there anything from, that he can do with his game other than just, I'm trying to paraphrase the question here, for you. But is there something that, TJ Poglase, can work on to, make those goals go in, I guess. Make those pucks go in.
I get what they're after. TJ's deal is, he's in many ways, he's like Ray Bryce in that his commitment, work ethic, dedication, energy level, every day is off the charts. Is off the charts. I mean, you want to build a program around TJ Poglase's and Ray Bryce's and Tyrell Buckley's, and what TJ needs to do is make plays in confined areas. That's really what it comes down to. It's, you know, he defends well and things like that, but he needs to make plays in confined areas. In tight space areas, needs to make the right plays that lead to, winning shifts. His line winning shifts are not playing in the neutral zone, not playing in the defensive zone, but playing in the offensive zone. And while in the offensive zone, make those little plays that result in scoring chances. From offensive zone play, if you notice a lot of TJ's scoring chances come off the rush, which means hard work in the D zone, busting your butt up ice and doing things. He had a breakaway, I think, against Michigan last year in the GLI championship. Maybe that was 2 years ago, but, plays like that where you want to see, you know, those quick little plays in the offensive zone, that control in the offensive zone that will relate in not just a couple of chances in a game, but many, many more chances in a game that will compound over time. What we would like to have is guys that put the pressure on and push, that do everything, offer everything that TJ offers, and then make plays. And maybe that will ignite TJ a little bit more to make some more plays, because right now he's in the lineup. We're playing him based on that, on his energy and his attention to detail and things like that. So as our depth improves, players like TJ or like anybody else will have to contribute, and you know what he does so well should be expected from everybody, and should be performed by everybody. So we love to have him here. Extremely important and valuable to our team.
When a guy like Brian Hallinan comes back into the lineup, coach, does that change your chemistry and maybe decision making as far as what is the extra or who is the extra skater between a defenseman and a forward?
Yeah, I think we mentioned that before. I'm not as bent on dressing an extra defenseman as I was in the past, because I think we have some guys that can log some minutes. You know, I think you could Colin Sawyer could probably run from here to Chicago and back on a weekend. You know, and I mean, he's got great endurance. He's got a great body on him. He can play a lot of hockey. So you want dominant players like him to be able to play minutes. I remember a story. I'll tell you a quick little story, and I've shared this with you before, but I was at Northern Michigan. We played University of Michigan. Mel was still there as an assistant coach, and you know Mel, he's going to throw something at you every time there's a, you know, if you win, there's always a glitch why you won. And we beat them in overtime, and he came up and he says, do you guys know how much, you know, he's having a cup of coffee on Saturday morning, you know how much Eric Gustafson played last night? Eric was a two-time All-American for us and signed with Philadelphia, played in the NHL for some time. Do you know how many minutes Eric Gustafson played last night? And no, we don't. And he said, Eric Gustafson played 32 minutes last night in the game. And Walt, without even blinking an eye, looked at him and he said, whew, good, I was worried he wouldn't be fresh tonight. So it was just a great comment on, hey, just so you know, we're going to play Eric Gustafson as much as we need to play Eric Gustafson, as much as he could take, and his performance not drop down, just like Shane Hanna, just like Matt Rory, just like anybody else that's of that caliber. Give them the minutes that they can eat in the minutes, and force someone else to play those minutes if they want to take them away. And obviously, if we can get a lot of players playing like Shane Hanna or Matty Roy or whatever, the number of very good defensemen we had on that team, the only reason that other guys got a lot of minutes on those teams is because they were good hockey players. You know, Cliff Watson was a tremendous hockey player. Mark Ock, tremendous hockey player. Those guys were Mitch Rehnke, you know, NHL caliber players. So they earned the minutes that you had to share them, you had to spread them. If we didn't have those guys, we would have been playing two guys an awful lot of hockey.
Well, it's funny you bring up Mitch Rehnke's name, Coach. The final question that we have here for you is, can you give us any comparisons or contrasts to the style of play of Colin Sawyer and Mitch Rehnke?
Colin's a much better skater. Mitch was a much Mitch Mitch was more impacted games more as you saw Mitch, you know, in his subtle way. I believe if Mitch had Colin's skating ability, all things being equal, Mitch would already be playing in the National Hockey League. But if you're going to be, you know, 5'11" in stature at the NHL level, you need to be able to, you need to have advantage, some sort of advantage to get you over somebody else. And often that's the skating ability to recover when you take those offensive chances, and to be that much quicker as the first man on the puck with your feet, so that you have a little bit more time when that big 6'3", 6'4" forward's crashing down on you, or to recover when that big guy beats you with his body strength, to be able to recover and stay inside and at least buy time for help to come without getting beaten that body strength and not having the feet to recover. If a big guy's got the same feet that you have or better feet than you have at a little bit smaller size, it can limit your availability to move up in the pecking order at the professional rank. So, different players. Mitch had, I think, an overall at this point better feel for the game. That's getting better all the time with Colin. But you saw how Mitch was able to control a game plus minus wise in the minutes he was able to log it. You know, we needed Mitch Rehnke that year to win that championship. If we don't have Mitch Rehnke and Joel Esperance, and Brett Baltus, probably those three players drove our hockey team. Because there was no forward in the country better than Joel Esperance. I've told Joel this, I've said this often. There was no one that I saw in the national championship all the way through. From we got on the ice with Notre Dame, no one was better than Joel. And from everything I saw riding right through that national tournament, there was no one that impacted the game more than Joel Esperance did.
I still remember, going back to Mitch Rehnke, and I've said this probably 1,000 times on the air, but there was still one play that I remember watching Mitch Rehnke. We were in Arizona. Or was it Vegas? I think it was Arizona. He was coming off the ice with it on the right side, just coming out of our zone, and he did something. I can't even describe what he did. But it was basically, in short, a slight delay, that any other person on the planet would have made the pass when he made the delay. And it opened up something. It was just like, there it is. I mean, that is the difference from a really good defenseman at NCAA level to a guy that's, you know, going to play in the show or at least get a shot at it. And
his brain.
Unbelievable.
Off the charts.
Yeah.
His brain was off the charts. And, you know, he had to sign. People could say, well, maybe if he didn't sign. Those guys have to sign because he was offered. He was able to burn that first year of the contract.
Right.
So he went up, he signed right away, and that was year one of his contract. So his second contract, his second year, the next year, normally when a player goes up, they sign a PTO and, you know, a tryout contract, and then they sign them after that, their contract starts. So they have 2 years before they can get into their new contract. Mitch, they burned his first year right immediately. They said, okay, this will be your first year. So his second year was his contract, and then he already knew what he was going to make after that at a minimum.
Right.
Going into the now he's into his extended contract, and he's getting closer to free agency. So multiple signing bonuses, multiple everything came along. It gets into the business side of it. He had to sign, just as it would have been very difficult for Angus Redman not to sign after his first year. It was probably the worst thing, in my opinion, he could have done. In my opinion, it was the worst thing. But if you're looking at it and you're saying, okay, if I don't make it in the NHL, if I don't make it as a goalie, what's the best option? What's the best I can do? That was the best he could do, was what was offered to him. So now, if he was playing for the long haul and said, I know I'm going to be a great NHL goaltender, he would give himself more time to develop.
Gotcha. And going back to Conlon Swire, just in the two games that I've seen him this year, I just see so much of what we saw in Mitch Rankin, what you're alluding to. I mean, he's getting closer and closer with his vision of the ice and everything else that's going on.
Yeah, he's articulate about the game. A Warrior side will help him a lot. A Warrior side, not just expecting to be really good, but expecting to be the difference maker in a team winning hockey games. That will come, his expectations for that. Right now he's just trying to succeed as a player in a lot of ways. I think I played pretty well. I wish we would have won, but I think I played really well to the point where it doesn't matter how I play. We didn't win. Doesn't matter. That will come with the maturity of the game.
All right, quick timeout. We'll be right back right after this, the Joe Schon Hour.
Save your bucks at Bucko's Party Store in Calumet all month long. See their store-wide beer specials, all Coke and Pepsi 2 liters, 2 for $3. All Pepsi product 12-pack cans, only 2 for $10. All 1-liter Brisk teas are 99 cents. All 28-ounce Powerades are 10 for $10. And buy antioxidant drinks are 3 for $5. Bucko's in Calumet is your hunting headquarters of the North, selling licenses and feed. All sales do not include taxes and deposit at Bucko's in Calumet. Open 7 days a week.
This is pop music, mixed by one DJ and one can of truly hard seltzer. Truly, with just 1 gram of sugar and 16 flavors, it's music to your taste buds. No cans were harmed in the making of this ad. Except that one. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Mass. Please drink responsibly.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance or concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Marcia Franti of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. Whatever your situation, single, raising a family, or happily retired, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, we offer more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Put the Turvo Agency to work for you at 482-0080.
Welcome back to the Joe Schon Hour. We only have a couple of minutes here. Of course, if you missed the beginning of the show, Coach has talked a little bit about the schedule for the upcoming weekend with Minnesota State, one of the top-ranked teams in the nation. They lost some really good guys. They have a ton of really good guys coming back and some great freshmen coming in. But as of right now, Coach, again, the schedule, do you want to talk about that again?
Yeah, I'll do that briefly because I got a couple other quick things. But as of now, if we can work out the details, it is Sunday and Monday here. No fan attendance and things like that, and we'll miss that desperately. We'll miss that desperately at our home games. But that's what it is right now. But I would like to make a couple of comments. I came to work today, and as you did, and a little after six, and. Our road crews are incredible. The sidewalks were even all done off. Campus was clean. All the roads were clean. The hardware store parking lots were clean. I just want to give a huge thanks because it probably doesn't go unnoticed, but the job these guys do is, I mean, these roads, our parking lot where we park our vehicles outside the building was clean. The entire campus was clean, all the roads. And so I just want to thank those crews for all they do, all the work they do, all the other people who do all the plowing and stuff, keep the community going. I guess it was a really good Black Friday locally. I've been told business was really good. People got out and supported local business people. And a couple other things, we've lost some really good, great supporters. We haven't mentioned yet Karen Hall, one of our Blue Line board members. Heart out to Scott. She sadly missed already. She battled hard her illness and it got her, but a wonderful lady. She's still in our thoughts and prayers. And yesterday we lost another super fan, Garth Jurgensen's loss. We lost him 9:30 yesterday morning. So, sad news, but life celebrated. Huge hockey fans, all of them. Huge Michigan Tech supporters. and I want to make sure that their families and friends know that our hearts go out to them.
Absolutely. Well, we'll get to, as soon as the times and days and everything for this weekend's games are out, we, of course, will let you know, and so will the Michigan Tech Huskies website, michigantechhuskies.com. Coach, thanks for everything, and good luck this week in preparing for this big weekend against Minnesota State, and we'll talk to you real soon, okay?
Great. Thanks, Dirk.
All right, Head Coach Joe Schott of the Joe Schott Hour. Thanks for all your questions, too, folks. Great questions today. We'll do it again real soon.